Great to have you back with us at GoldSeek.com Radio. Time to open up the phone line and reach into the mailbag for listeners' questions and comments.
Hi, Chris. This is Marcus calling. I'm a longtime listener, and I wanted to thank you for the great work you do on your show. It really provides valuable insight. I wanted to let you know about a service that I use that I thought you and other listeners would be interested in. Anyone that's perhaps done some preparation at home to plan for emergency preparedness, maybe put aside some food and water, that type of thing. There's a group of ex-military men, Green Berets, who are really quite exceptional, and they've developed a consulting firm called the Yarborough Group. They'll come into your house and interview you and your family, basically give you a grade in terms of what kind of preparations you've done and if they're adequate or not. They can help you with everything from a fire evacuation plan for you and your children to a survival plan in case communications go down and you need to meet up so that you have a plan in place. So I really think it's an invaluable service. They can be reached at yarboroughgroup.com. It's yarboroughgh-group.com. Thanks, Chris.
Well, hi, Marcus. You know, I can vouch for your comments. You've been a friend to the show for quite some time, and I don't think you'd suggest anything, any service that wasn't legitimate. If you have the means, it does sound like an interesting option to further investigate. But I think for the, you know, the regular bourgeois middle-class folks like myself on a household budget, I'd suggest Lou Rockwell's site. They regularly have excellent articles on household survival preparations, and I presume that everyone listening to our voice has the GoldSeek news updates also bookmarked on every web browser. Thanks, Marcus.
Hi, this is Rick from Cannonsburg, Pennsylvania. A couple of questions from your program from the weekend of January 4th. Harry Dent, who's been pretty right on in recent years, has recommended holding cash. I think that's a good recommendation. However, how do you hold the cash? The G20 meeting formalized the bank bail-in program, so I'm concerned that putting cash in the banks would see it disappear, and I would pull myself out of the fire and shoot myself in the foot at the same time. The next question, when John Embry was making his presentation, you were talking about the performance of gold in Russia, and you indicated that the purchasing power of gold had increased something like 20 times during the crash of the ruble. Is that actual purchasing power, or is it just relative value of the money given that the price inflation was so great? Be interested to hear what you have to say. Thanks a lot. Happy New Year to everyone. Keep up the good work. Goodbye.
Okay, up next, it's Rick from Pennsylvania. He makes comments about Harry Dent Jr.'s interview and holding cash reserves. He asks, what is the best method to do so and keep your assets productive? In previous discussions on and off the air, Harry has suggested on the show that dollar ETFs such as UUP, that's the ticker symbol, which track the US dollar closely, remain in a solid uptrend. Also, I think keeping several months of cash on hand is a solid method. It may seem counterproductive, but keeping cash at home in a fireproof safe can be done now for $20 or $30 on Amazon.com. They'll deliver it free of charge if you have Prime, right to your doorstep or your mailbox. Hidden, Bob Chapman used to point out, the first thing a home invader will do will just pull all the drawers and all the shelves and everything under the bed out onto the floor and rummage through that. That's one of the first things. People think, well, I can hide it in the freezer or in the cupboards or things like that. That's the first thing they do. Under the cushions, the everyday curmudgeon has become a bit more sophisticated. And, you know, when they pick up that little hidden book safe, they'll notice that it maybe weighs a little bit more than the Holy Bible. I don't know how much good that's going to do. Next, Rick discusses John Embry's comments from Sprott Asset Management on the gold slash ruble price explosion. I hope I didn't misspeak during that interview, but the increase in gold relative to the ruble was about 100% in just a few months. In fact, it moved from about 44,000 rubles per ounce to over 90,000 near the peak of last year, and it remains high at around 70,000 plus as of today. To put this in context, due to the crude oil plunge, the ruble fell so sharply that a $100,000 investment in gold doubled in value just virtually overnight. From another perspective, and perhaps more troubling, the cost of goods and services, i.e. purchasing power, blasted higher, crushing the purchasing power of those without gold and silver insurance. Food for thought and great questions. Look forward to hearing from you.
Good morning. This is Jeff calling from Denver, Colorado. I had a quick question for Chris regarding the CEF, Central Fund of Canada Limited. He had referenced it some time back ago, and I was wondering if he could give a little bit of detail about it and why he had the recommendation on it. Thank you.
Hi, Jeff. Ticker symbol CEF, or the Central Fund of Canada, is a precious metals ETF with the unusual quality of holding roughly half gold and half silver. In addition, the fund is located outside the U.S., which gives us some additional reduction in exposure to domestic issues and geographic diversification, if you will. Now, several folks I admire feel confident that the soundness of this bullion backing is apparently much higher than most ETFs. But keep in mind, you're unlikely to receive any bullion from these funds in the event of an emergency. So I still think it is something of a paper money scheme. Best for those who wish to trade and perhaps not invest. As for recommending CEF, that would only be a component of a widely diversified portfolio comprised of many competing asset classes. And if you'd like to see the most recent portfolio we have at Alpha Stocks Portfolio, we have a new one each week. I hope you'll log into your Alpha Stocks account. We've had several picks explode in recent weeks. And frankly, over the years, I challenge anyone to say we haven't outperformed the market substantially. And especially those of well-known market pundits.
This is a long-time listener, George. I have a question. Is it possible that the United States Federal Reserve manipulation be of such magnitude that it's destroying other countries' currencies, friends and foes, to create a positive rate differential, forcing foreign investors to buy our treasury notes so the U.S. government does not have to monetize the debt, and that they're keeping gold manipulated lower. So really, a foreign investor doesn't have very many places he can go except the dollar. Please elaborate on this, and I'd like to hear your comment. Thank you.
Moving on to George asks if the Fed is colluding to make the U.S. dollar more attractive, in particular the U.S. Treasury, by forcing competing currencies like the euro into negative interest rate environment, making the dollar the most attractive currency. Well, first of all, George, where have you been? We were used to regular calls from you here. All right, we're glad you're still kicking, and I think you are correct and you're on the right path, but it might be a bit more involved, I think, than maybe conspiracy. The U.S. is emerging, at least on paper, from a deep recession. Remember, we all threw around the Great Recession term starting around 2007, 2008. With the official national unemployment rate around 5.5%, nearly half of the peak number, the massive QE spending and the rate cuts have to be unwound sometime. And what better time to do it than now, right? I mean, with everybody else, with the market firing on all 12 cylinders, and we have unemployment at the lowest rate in years, inflation well under control, this is sort of the Goldilocks environment for rate hikes. However, the Fed's balance sheet chart, as seen at the St. Louis Fed's webpage, is also showing signs of slowing. That's right. After years of constant increases, you know, it's starting to slow and shows some signs of rolling over, at least at last check. I think this indicates that officials are starting to put the brakes on the economy. Nevertheless, the U.S. dollar has been telegraphing that the sea change event will come to pass within less than about a year. As you know, markets tend to forecast about major changes in the market up to 6 months in advance. The greenback rally has been just one of the most explosive we've seen, maybe with the exception of the silver market circa 2010, 2011. Keep in mind, the U.S. dollar has just undone over 12 years of declines in less than 12 months. It's about 9 months. I would agree with you in theory, George, that trillions of dollars are pouring into the U.S. stock market, treasuries, and dollar-denominated assets, but I would add the proviso that the market was so oversold and so crowded on the downside that a rally was virtually inevitable. Of course, this is easy to say, as hindsight is 100% accurate. George, thanks a lot. We'll hear from you soon, hopefully. Next caller is concerned by a guest who made an extreme comment, noting that nobody knows when a market will crash.
Hey, Chris. This is Andy Johnson. I really enjoyed the interview you had with John Williams and David Morgan and Dr. Mark Hill. I just wanted to kind of hint about a little thing that happened to me that dispels a little bit about what Dr. Mark Hill said. It seems like whenever any of us use absolutes like never or nobody, we always tend to get ourselves in a little trouble with those. And he said that no one knows when this market is going to start crashing. I noticed that several years ago, an individual I know warned me of an event, a very significant event that happened to America about 4 or 5 months ahead of time. This individual, call him a modern-day fortune teller or prophet or whatever, this actually happened to me, irrefutable. There are individuals out there, I am convinced, that can see these things. I know it sounds very strange, but I would never say anything like that, but it happened to me. And so I'm convinced that there are people out there who know when this market is going to crash. Whether or not they're telling people, I don't know. But I promise you, they're out there and they know it. So I'd just like to, you know, let the listeners know that. I also enjoyed listening to John Williams. He really paints a gleam picture. I think we all need to kind of wake up and start preparing for this thing, because if his numbers are right, this is not going to be good. But anyway, I want to thank you again for efforts in your interviews, and we're all listening. Thank you.
Hi, caller. I think most of my listeners know by now. They know where I stand on prediction and forecasting. Before I give up my boring spiel, I'd like to note that I warned everyone in advance, for instance, of the housing crash on this show, Bob Chapman and I. I was more vehement, I think, at the time than our late friend, that prices would collapse in 2006 for several years and then recover in 2012. I even, you know, published my humble little wealth-building strategies with Wiley Publishing and, I mean, one chapter or two on the subject, which also predicted that silver would explode and rocket from around 14, 15 an ounce to much higher. And it did shoot up threefold. And after the book was published, to well in the range of 50, as we all know. Yes, I do believe there are pockets of predictability as proposed in chaos theory. In addition, my Alpha Stocks newsletter, I think, is prima facie evidence that one man's efforts can top the market. Even the results of folks like Mad Money himself, Warren Buffett, Jim Simons. Still, the evidence shows that these are flukes, that eventually our best forecasts will fail. And unfortunately, it's usually when we're most heavily invested. We're most confident, right? It's when the male gobbler has his plumage fully erect. Well, this is why I advocate diversification with several key tweaks that are outlined in my PhD dissertation. And these are backtested and supported by substantial Excel spreadsheet, which proves via backtesting and forward testing, irrefutably, that buying and holding can be a devastating investment strategy. Once the dissertation is accepted by the school committee, it will be available online free of charge with the Excel spreadsheets for every index stock sector. It has automatic updates. You just type in the ticker symbol and it instantly updates all of the analysis, which shows how your portfolio would have performed over the last few decades and then how it should perform. This will be available free of charge, as I said, to my Alpha Stocks newsletter. Now, regarding Mr. Williams' analysis, I concur. Hyperinflation will be devastating. It will arrive someday. However, I think the timing is a bit of a difficult matter. Right now, we appear to be facing disinflation. I disagree with a lot of the folks on my show. I do not buy the deflation thesis. I think it's interesting. There is some evidence to support it. But to me, this looks like just a slowing of inflation. Now, slowing of inflation is termed disinflation. So you might think of it as momentum is waning, or you're in your car, you're accelerating, you go up a steep hill, momentum is lost. That would be inflation, but you're increasing, you're going up at a slower rate, a slower pace, i.e. disinflation. Next up, John from Illinois is perplexed by the guest comments regarding hyperinflation.
Hi, Chris. John from Downers Grove here. I just wanted to comment on Martin Armstrong. I have not yet heard the interview. He is a controversial figure. He's made some good calls in the past. In some way, he displeased the powers that be, and they slapped him in prison for a few years, probably on some trumped-up charges, no doubt. But one of the things that kind of sticks in my craw about Armstrong, he claims there is no such thing as hyperinflation. Then I would like to know from Mr. Armstrong, how do you explain Weimar Germany, Zimbabwe, and Argentina? Let's go down. We can probably add another 100 countries to that list. They've all experienced hyperinflation. I don't know where he's getting this idea that hyperinflation has never existed anywhere in the world. It exists. It's real. And as you well know, every single fiat currency has gone down in flames, usually in a hyperinflationary scenario. So that kind of makes me doubt the veracity of his other views, because he's in denial of one of the great facts of life, monetary facts of life, that hyperinflation is part and parcel of all fiat money systems. They eventually all end in hyperinflation. There you have it. I'm looking forward to hearing what Mr. Armstrong said on the show. I just downloaded it, and I'll be listening to it this morning. And keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
John, sometimes I think comments are taken out of context. I doubt if Mr. Armstrong or anyone believes that hyperinflation is a myth. I think what was intended to be conveyed was that the U.S. won't face a bleak future, that deflation is the true threat. I've made my viewpoint on inflation for a decade on GoldSeek, so I won't go into the minutiae, but I do agree with you. Eventually, the U.S. and the entire global Fata Morgana will evaporate, just like a mirage on the desert horizon. The exact order of these events, I think, remains unknown.
I signed up for the Alpha Stocks newsletter, and I actually forgot my user ID and password, so I was wondering how I retrieve that. Just when I go to the subscriber section, it doesn't give me a way to renew my password, the newsletter. But if someone can at least let me know how to retrieve my user ID and password so I can get into the newsletter again, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
The next caller would like to reset his login info on the Alpha Stocks newsletter. Well, no problem at all. Just send a message, please, to gsradio@frontier.com, and I'll send over your updates.
Hi, Chris. John from Downers Grove calling. You know, I heard a great interview with Daniel Ammerman. He's a certified financial planner, about the tax treatment of gold and silver bullion as collectibles. He's got an interesting article on his website about this, showing how gold and silver bullion, the tax rate right now on it, according to Ammerman, is 28% since it's classified as a collectible. But he speculates that in any meltdown of the dollar, there's a very good chance of the tax rate to become punitive. He says 50%. Well, we used to have 90% tax rates in this country. I could see it going to 90%. This is my question. Do you think you could discuss this on your show, and what would be the better way to invest in gold and silver in light of this? Mutual funds, gold mining mutual funds, gold mining stocks, individual stocks, silver mining stocks, closed-end fund like Central Fund of Canada? I'd love to hear you and a guest bat this around a bit, because I don't want to be victimized by punitive taxation on my foresight and wisdom for investing my hard-earned savings in gold and silver. Long-term capital gain right now, I think, if you would invest in a gold mining mutual fund, would be 15 to 18%, something like that. Of course, that can always change at the whim of Congress at any time. We all know that. They can even single out gold and silver mining share investors for special attention and impose an even higher tax on them. Appreciate any feedback you can get on this, because it looks like we're going to start kicking off here on a big bull run, and your listeners should be prepared. Sorry to ramble so, but Great show. I listen to it every week. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Moving on to John again from Illinois. He asks for the best way to avoid tax penalties with precious metals investments. Well, hi, John. Let me give you some points to ponder that should help alleviate most, if not all, your concerns. During the financial crises that we all know are imminent, paper assets and even hard assets like real estate supplies, food, stockpiles, water reservoirs out west, etc. These are entirely owned by the government. That's right. During martial law, everything you have is virtually theirs. If it can't be hidden underground, it could evaporate with just an official's pen stroke. So as for punitive tax rates, I propose that we need to look at it from this perspective. Sure, the powers that be could try to slow the inevitable 10,000 foot high, or should I say $10,000 gold price tsunami. But their efforts will likely only encourage shrewd investors to accumulate even more precious metals, as it requires little gray matter to read between the lines when conditions are so dire that officials must step in to stop price advances. It's usually time to move the family into the survival bunker. As for specific tax advice, you know, that's not my forte. As you say, for the time being, some mutual funds receive favorable tax treatments. For my Alpha Stocks newsletter subscribers, if you are interested in a gold fund with a 10% dividend yield, I'll post a link in the newsletter this weekend for your eyes only.
Mr. Waltek, I value the information you disseminate very highly. You perform a great duty to your fellow man. Lately, I've been experimenting with turning rooms of my house into Faraday cages. I've not yet come to a decision on the results. Are the weapons used against us too strong to defend with a simple Faraday cage? I would appreciate your input. Thank you.
Hi, caller. I, too, am a targeted individual, a TI. Please contact me at gsradio@hughes.net, and I'll offer you the best advice that I can, just like the advice I was given by researchers over 15 years ago. I'll try to help you.
Hey, Chris, John from San Diego, formerly Downers Grove, Illinois. Just a follow-up to the tag-teaming that's going on with the Fed, the ECB, and now it looks like the Bank of Japan has now stepped into the fray since Mario Draghi over at the ECB is being restrained by Germany from going on a spending spree, buying all kinds of toxic waste. So here's the report. The Bank of Japan voted 5-4 to accelerate purchases of Japanese government bonds while tripling its purchases of exchange-traded funds and REITs, real estate investment trusts. Now, of course, the Bank of Japan is permitted, apparently by law, to do such things. I wonder if the Fed, who is not permitted to do that by real estate investment trusts and equities, is in reality buying these things through proxies to hide who's actually buying them. There is little doubt in my mind, should the markets crash, that the Fed will use what some have termed the nuclear option and step into the markets through proxies, of course, and begin buying every single thing in sight in order to prop them up until, of course, it is revealed who is really behind the buying, and then the big explosion. It will be a nuclear explosion when people realize just how much money the Fed is printing in order to prop up markets. This is not going to be pretty. I suspect we long-suffering gold and silver buyers are going to have to wait a while longer before our patience is rewarded. Comments? Thanks for the show. Bye-bye.
Next up, it's John. Third time. He now has moved to sunny San Diego. Hi, John. You know, I really can't speculate beyond the Fed's balance sheet regarding mortgage-backed security housing debt, but I think the official numbers are enormous. This does appear to be their Achilles heel and a primary reason why the Fed is so nervous regarding pulling the trigger on rate hikes. Clearly, higher rates will destroy the value of their mortgage-backed securities in their portfolio, as well as the Treasury debt, as bond values are obviously negatively correlated to rates. Stay tuned. Interesting times ahead. All right, closing down the phone lines and opening up the mailbag. Only time for one email question today, so we'll move into regular contact Vidya. He's particularly concerned about a global economic reset. I do expect a global reset scenario to play out over the next 5 to 10 years, particularly given the rush away from U.S. dollars by BRICS nation. And regarding the rupee, remember that only gold-backed currencies are insulated from government profligacy. Even the rupee is susceptible to global hyperinflation when it arrives. It appears that the global economic endgame will include a sudden collapse that will catch virtually everyone off guard, in turn making precious metals of incalculable value circa Europe in 1922. Venezuela, Zimbabwe, etc. Think of those outcomes. So I think it's a great question. It's food for thought. We all need to keep this in the back of our minds, and that's why, once again, broken record here, but you've got to have that insurance. Hard money. Closing down the mailbag, remember to call into our toll-free hotline. We have to give our callers the highest priority. All right, coming up after the break, more GoldSeek.com radio with this week's guest interviews. So stay with us right here at GoldSeek. Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.